And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. We are live out at Vanderbilt over at the McGugan Center. Thanks to Vanderbilt Football for having us out here. Big game coming up on Saturday, Vanderbilt at Wake Forest. Get your coffee ready for that one, too. 10 a.m. start out there, which throws me off a little bit, but I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I like it.
I'm going to be up early anyway, so waking up a little early, watching some Vanderbilt football on Saturday. 10 a.m. start. Don't see that one too often in college football.
No. You know, I land in New Orleans, like, right then, which is weird anyway, but it's just like that's what the flight was that worked out, so it'll be great. Go to breakfast and watch it in New Orleans.
Yep, big game for Vanderbilt on the non-conference front, taking on Wake Forest. Obviously, Wake Forest, a different-looking team than last year. Sam Hartman going from Wake Forest to Notre Dame, and he looks pretty good at Notre Dame so far, by the way, so obviously that's a huge loss for Wake Forest. And can Vanderbilt go on the road, improve to 3-0? And we talked about yesterday, if you can get to 4-0 in non-conference, that sets yourself up very nicely for an opportunity for postseason play. So that's right in front of Vanderbilt coming up on Saturday at Wake Forest. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a huge game, huge opportunity. Hard to really know. I mean, Wake Forest, you know, has reached a certain level of, I think, quality as a program. But obviously, like you said, Sam Hartman's a big loss. He was, a lot of people talk about him as a Heisman until Colorado played.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think he's one of those guys in that conversation. But, you know, last year, Vanderbilt really had some really good stretches against Wake here, then made too many mistakes and it kind of got away from him. But, you know, like you said, if you can go to 4-0, you got to focus on this. You get this one, and you really set yourself up for some possibilities.
No question about that. So Clark Lee will join us at 7:30 today for his weekly visit. We're live out here at Vanderbilt, so looking forward to that. We'll have Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7 o'clock. And then Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com joining us live on location from 8 to 9 today, a full hour of PK. Do we think the people are ready for this?
I don't know. They got a taste of it, so
they did.
You know, but we will see. And yeah, he's going to be in studio with us every Wednesday at 8, right?
Yep, every Wednesday at 8 we'll have Paul Kuharski in studio 8 to 9. We'll be breaking down the Titans all season long with week 1 coming up this week. Titans versus the Saints. We'll have a lot to get to with PK today, but looking forward to all that. We got a lot to get to on the program as a whole today. We'll take your thoughts on that all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The NFL kicking off tomorrow, Joe, and Travis Kelce hyperextending his knee yesterday at Kansas City Chiefs practice. They've done some tests. Apparently, the structural damage doesn't look too bad. His ACL's intact. Adam Schefter put that out there yesterday. But a hyperextended knee for Travis Kelce a couple of days before the season begins against the mighty Detroit Lions on Thursday. And now the status for Kelce in doubt for Thursday night season opener. And, you know, obviously, if you're Kansas City, you'd rather be, I guess, cautious in this situation and not risk him coming back too soon on Thursday so he's available for the rest of the season. But quite the scare yesterday for the reigning Super Bowl champions with Travis Kelce getting hurt.
Yeah, it kind of continues the preseason theme of injuries that in the moment the reaction is, uh-oh,
yep.
You know, this is really bad. You think about Burrow, Treylon Burks. Now, Kelce, who else? Who am I forgetting?
Jalen Ramsey.
Ramsey.
Of course, his is a little – he's out a little while, but not the whole year like we thought.
Exactly. Like in all those cases, it was like, oh, this could be season-ending. And I feel like every year there are at least a couple huge players – who are lost for the year. So it's great news that, you know, there's nothing structural. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, if I were them, I wouldn't mess with them. They're gonna beat the Lions anyway. Like, you're okay.
You're very confident.
You'll beat the Lions without Travis Kelce on Thursday. So, it's gonna be a playland for the Chiefs.
I can't wait till tomorrow when we get to our official, like, division predictions and Super Bowls and all that stuff. The people, you know, the stuff people love is other people's predictions, all that crap.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what you say about the Detroit Lions. Are you going to pick them to win the NFC North? Don't tell me now. But
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you a spoiler. They're not going to be in my playoff field, okay?
I mean, yeah, I didn't quite figure that they would be.
I mean, you know, maybe we should add to the – because we predict division winners and wild cards, but maybe we should also predict, like, top five of the draft too, you know, because that's about where we're at now. They're not that bad, but they're like a six-win team.
Yeah.
They're like a six-win team that people think is an 11-win team, and – I mean, Junie's over here, you know.
Junie's a believer in the Lions.
Well, he was last year, too. And then I know that they, you know, then they started, what, 1-7, and I was clowning Junie all the time about it. But then they had this late run of totally meaningless winning to get themselves to where they, like, you know, acted like they won the Super Bowl when they knocked the Packers out of the playoffs. I mean, that's Lions football.
I can't wait. I'm ready to see it this year. The expectations
I can't wait
are
to
high.
See your pick for the Lions.
I can't either. I don't know what I'm I haven't looked at the North yet, so I need to do that tonight.
I mean, your team's in the North.
I know.
You know?
I don't know that that's going to be my pick. But
yeah.
We'll see what happens.
It's an interesting division, I'll tell you that.
It is an interesting division. The team that the Titans are playing on Sunday is in an interesting division from the standpoint of looking at the NFC South with Derek Carr coming into New Orleans, who the Titans are going to face on Sunday. You got Baker Mayfield with Tampa Bay with Tom Brady retiring. You got Bryce Young in Carolina that's now taken over with the Panthers. And then Desmond Ridder with the Falcons. I have no idea about that division in terms of, like, are any of these teams going to be good? I would give the edge, I mean, spoiler alert, to the Saints. Like, that's going to be my pick to win the NFC South. I like Derek Carr. I like the Saints defense. And I think the Saints defense is going to be a good challenge for the Titans coming up on Sunday. And we'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. But that division, when I look at it on paper, it's really intriguing because I'm not sure that any of them are all that good. I think Derek Carr and the Saints are going to be my pick by default in the NFC South.
Yeah, well, I think they're clearly the pick, right? But I mean, just because they actually have a quarterback, as much as I'm a fan of Bryce Young, I mean, he's a rookie, and they've got a long way to go. I think it's like – and I think the Bucs are bad, right? So
I think.
So I feel like the Saints are – because they have a solid defense, they're going to get Kamara back. Olave is really good. You know, I think that they're the pick. I do think the Falcons are interesting to me. You know, the Falcons, I mean, it's an important year for Arthur Smith.
Yep.
It's so much Desmond Ridder, and I just don't know. I don't know about Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, I don't know either. Well, him and also, you know, Bijan Robinson, who they took really high. What does that look like with Arthur Smith in the running game? Drake London in year two. I feel like, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, like why can I not think of his name? Pitts, good Lord.
There is a Kyle Phillips.
I said Kyle Phillips. He does not play for Atlanta. Kyle Pitts has not lived up to what people thought he would be to this point. You could see the athleticism. He's made some plays every now and then where you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that guy's exactly what we thought he would be. But consistency-wise, hasn't done it. How much of that is quarterback that he's had? I don't know.
Injury.
How much of that is going to change with Desmond Ridder coming in? There's a lot to it on the Kyle
Pitts.
What's happening to me?
I mean, it's 6:07, man.
Good gracious.
Yeah, the first segment, you know, everything is forgiven. Well, he had a 1,000-yard season as a rookie, right? So, I mean, it looked good as a rookie. And then that was with the great Matt Ryan.
Yes.
I don't know. Last year you have Mariota and you bring in Ridder, and he was hurt too. I mean, I still think he could be – yeah, he's got to be a difference maker for them for sure. I think their defense is getting better. They've done a lot with that defense. So I think it's those two, right? I think it's those two. But either way, it's a good division to play if you're an AFC team. And if you're and really the AFC South is the division those are the two teams, divisions that should play each other, the AFC and NFC South, you know?
Joe, today the first Wednesday of the NFL season, which means it's Mike Vrabel's favorite day of the year. The injury report comes out today.
Yeah.
So Vrabel's hiding of injuries throughout training camp now is over. The injury report comes out today. Big one for Arden Key. Interested to see if Arden Key is, number one, out on the practice field today, and number two, if he's not, like what is the designation for Arden Key? Obviously, he's going to be really important for the Titans this year. We've talked about him all training camp long and how he's looked in camp. He's been dealing with the calf. What's that going to look like in terms of his availability on Sunday for New Orleans? And even, you know, even if he can't go Sunday, like how serious is it going to be for Arden Key and what does the timetable look like? Because we talked about the pass rush yesterday and the strength of the defense that could be for the Titans. He's obviously going to have to be a big part of it, and he's had a great training camp.
Yeah, and he's been out a bit. So, like I said the other day, you know, is Travis Gibson a little bit of a reaction to that, or is it just, hey, there's an opportunity to get somebody who, you know, just doesn't fit into what the Bears do defensively, did very well in a 3-4 two years ago.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, either way, it's good to have that depth and to have another pass rusher. You can't have too many, but it's a big deal. especially, you know, with Landry, just, I don't know, what's, is there a pitch count? I assume there is some kind of a pitch count. Vrabel basically confirmed that the other day.
Yep.
So Key has been one of those energy guys. I'm excited to watch him this year. And I think whether he's available this week or not, you know, it's not obviously a really long-term injury, so he'll make a difference. But, yeah, in a game like this, these early games, you're missing your right tackle. You're missing your slot receiver already. You got to have, you know, as many other key players as you can have for this early stretch. If they go 3-3, then they're going to be in very good shape.
Ken and Waverly on the text line says the Lions will have a better record than the Titans. Write it down.
Okay. Well, I'm writing you down, Ken. I'm writing you down for that, okay? We're putting Ken down. Tell me how many wins, Ken. How many wins are the Lions going to have this year? How many wins, Junie? Give me. Just hold up your hands. Or Junie can actually talk.
Let me. I will give you a legitimate answer in about an hour.
Oh, in an hour?
Give me an hour, and I
You're
will.
You're crunching
you,
the numbers.
You going through the numbers?
I'm
going
to go through the schedule.
You got film over there?
Okay. I've been watching film.
Okay.
Has Jared invited you to Jared's film room?
No.
Okay. Don't go.
Probably no. I probably wouldn't. Okay, probably get crucified.
Ty on the text line. Lions fans are so burned that we don't even allow ourselves to be optimistic again. I think that's where you are. I think Corey Curtis is hitting on something. You've buried it really deep, and you just are refusing to allow it to bubble back up.
Sure. That's fine. You guys tell yourselves whatever you want. That is fine. Let me tell you, it has been a wonderful life for the last quarter century of making fun of the Lions.
I'm sure it has.
I mean, who knows where I'd be right now if I didn't make that life change.
There's been a lot to make fun of. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rexrobe. We'll take your thoughts all show long. We're live out here at Vanderbilt at the McGugan Center. Clark Lee coming up at 7:30. Looking forward to that. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Take a look at the AFC. Could the Titans be the most underrated team in the AFC heading into this season? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 102.5 The Game studio is Nick Kieser holding down the fort. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Titans kicking things off coming up on Sunday. The NFL kicks off tomorrow, which, by the way, excited to have our Robbie and Rexrode Fantasy Football Draft tonight at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, the third annual Robbie and Rexrode Fantasy Football League.
We're going to spend a lot of time around each other in different locations today.
We are. So that should be exciting to you.
I'm yes, yeah, very, very much so. So we'll have I know we'll have Gover out there.
We will.
Gover got in the league, and we'll have Zach.
Yep.
Out there too, and whoever else is joining us. Have you got is everybody coming, or are there people who are saying they're going to do it remotely?
There is. So far, I've gotten one that's not going to be able to make it, but no big deal.
Okay. And I will bring defending champ Brennan Rexrode.
Yes,
so,
you will.
You know, he may talk a little trash.
We'll see what happens tonight. Hope everybody's got their fantasy football draft. And I heard a lot from a lot of people yesterday that took Travis Kelce in the first round. And
now well,
but
it'd be
that's going to end up working out.
I bet you it's like, I mean, no structural damage, some swelling and hyperextension.
It'd be fine.
I wouldn't be surprised if he plays in week two.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. So I think that part of it's probably going to be okay. We've talked about the Titans and how underrated they are from a national standpoint all season. I was thinking about this yesterday, heading into the year. Could the Titans be the most underrated team in the AFC? You know, obviously, there's a lot of talk about the AFC East with Rodgers joining the Jets and what that team's going to look like. Buffalo, with how dominant they've been in that division the last couple of years. Miami, who I think is going to be pretty good. The North, and Junie's talked about this too, I think the North is going to be really, really good this year. You know, Pittsburgh's gotten better. Baltimore, I think, with if Lamar Jackson can stay healthy, which he's not been able to do the last couple of years, I think they have a chance to be pretty good. Obviously, Cincinnati with Burrow. And then Cleveland, I have no clue. I mean, the roster tells me that they should be good. But we'll see what version of Deshaun Watson that we get this year out there with that. So there's a lot of teams that are really interesting to me in the AFC heading into this year. I do think the Titans, when you start to look at it, are they the most underrated team in the AFC? I think you can make the case that they are heading into this year.
The Titans being the most underrated.
Underrated, yeah. Correct. So, not overrated.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think so, and I think on WHMR that's certainly the narrative. Who else would qualify for that? I feel like there's a lot of respect for a lot of teams in the AFC, and like I'm looking through, like I think are the Raiders a little bit underrated?
I've heard people say the Raiders because Jimmy G's coming in, and you know obviously he's not Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, but Jimmy G has done a lot of winning in his career to this point. They still have Devontae Adams. You know, they've got weapons offensively that even though that Waller is not there anymore, that they should have a pretty good offense if Jimmy G can stay healthy and things go well there. You know, I think they could be a candidate. You look around, could the Broncos be a candidate? They were so bad last year. They've got Sean Payton coming in. If he restores Russell Wilson to what he used to be, or at least close to it, how good could they be? Now, they keep having receivers getting hurt. They've had a couple get hurt in camp, and we'll see when Jerry Jeudy's going to be available for them. But you know, probably those two teams out west would be the other two that come to mind. Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody else is talking about the North and the East. So, like, and are the Texans and Colts underrated? I don't think so, heading into this year.
No, you could maybe make a case for the Patriots. Because the Patriots will – I don't see too many people who think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, it's hard to pick them in the playoffs. The AFC is just a lot better than the NFC. There's just a lot more teams with potential to be good, I think, in the AFC. And the Patriots, I don't see many people who think they're going to make the playoffs. I wouldn't pick them either. They do have a pretty darn good defense. And they have a legit offensive coordinator now coordinating their offense rather than, you know, a special teams coach and a linebackers coach. And so it's so much about, obviously, Mac Jones. I don't love their offense at all, but maybe Bill O'Brien can get him to kind of get back to the track he was on a couple years ago. So I think probably Titans, Raiders, Pats would be your best three.
Who do you think is the most overrated team in the AFC?
That's a great question. I mean, boy. I think the Jags have a strong case. Again. To continue with the WHMR theme, Peter King picking them to be the number one seed
overall.
That's,
yeah,
you know, that's one of the most prominent NFL reporters. So that alone gives them a strong case to be the most overrated team because I can't see that. And just the idea that they're going to just roll and easily win that division and be an actual contender with the top of the conference, I'm skeptical of that. Are the Bills a little bit overrated? Are the Jets overrated? Are we overplaying the difference Aaron Rodgers is going to make? I think you could look at those two. Even the Ravens, I've seen some people, and I'm excited about the Ravens. I'm excited about Monken with that offense and Lamar Jackson. Their D's kind of trashy, you know? And Junie's nodding in approval, the big Steelers fan that he is. Oh, I mean, he's probably mad that we haven't said the Steelers are the most underrated team. But the Ravens, I think they're going to be good. I worry about their defense.
Yeah, I would, you know, I guess it depends on what you think of the Chargers. But, like, the Chargers are, like, perennially my answer until I see them actually do something.
It's fair.
Know, people are picking them to make the playoffs again, and I'm not saying that they're not going to make the playoffs because – I do think they have a lot of talent, but I just don't trust that coach. I mean, I call Shane Beamer, like, going to the school of goobery of a head coach. Like, Brandon Staley's right in there, man. And this is a huge year for him. You talk about coaches on the hot seat heading into this season. I mean, if he's not at the top of the list, he's right near the top of the list heading into this year. But I think the Chargers would probably be my answer, just based on what we've seen from them the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It's interesting with them because you also see a wide range. Some people, because of him, not thinking they're going to be that good. But, I mean, I do agree with anyone who looks at their roster and says, I mean, come on.
It's pretty good.
It's a very good roster. Yeah. I actually was kind of surprised he got to this season after the way that playoff game unfolded. But I'm with you. They're a fascinating team. I mean, the Broncos, to me, are still probably the most interesting team because – I think Russ may be washed. Also think that if he isn't, that Sean Payton's going to get
something out of it.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like you said, if you keep having receiver injuries, that's going to cloud the picture a little bit. But they are a really interesting team. But I'm with you. The Chargers are Well, they're coming in here week two.
They are.
So we'll get to see.
Derek in Nashville on the text line says, nationally, the majority of people are picking either the Jets or Dolphins to win the East. Pro Football Focus, your favorite site, had the Bills finishing last in the AFC East. I think you're right on that the Titans are most underrated, but for some reason, people are still sleeping on how good the Bills are. This is from Derek in Nashville. The next text, Trent on the text line says, the Bills aren't going to be as good. Stephon Diggs is going to pull an Antonio Brown and walk out on the team halfway through the year. This is from Trent on the text line.
So the Bills could be the most overrated and underrated.
Yeah, that's what we've learned.
I do think there's some people who are just kind of assuming, yeah, Bills, and the Bills are, you know, they're going to win the division, they're fine. I mean, I did not know that PFF picked them fourth. There's just one more reason to not listen to PFF. That's, wow.
I need to see that.
Yeah.
And confirm that.
I mean, I still think they're going to be really good.
I don't really know how you could pick anybody but the Patriots fourth in that division. That's just me.
I'm with you. Now, the Dolphins are an interesting case, too. I mean, the Dolphins, I feel like there's a lot of the Dolphins talk is like, if Tua finishes, if he plays all year, yeah. How do you not? I mean, Fangio, with what they've added on defense, with their skill guys, it looks pretty promising, but I don't know about him.
Yeah, it's a great point. And he's you talk about around the league, like X factors as to the way seasons could go. Like Tua apparently took classes in the off season of like how to fall properly. That's how much that they're concerned about injuries. Like he was taking jiu-jitsu classes out there on how to properly fall. So we'll see if that makes any difference for him out there. It's kind of wild to think about that in the middle of a game with a 300-pound guy on top of you. How do you replicate that in a jiu-jitsu class?
It's worth a shot, man. I mean, I don't know that it was really like Tua's deficient falling when he just got thrown to the ground a couple times last year. You know, I don't know what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's worth a shot. I mean, I'd do anything you can. If you're going to try to keep playing this game, and I thought last year maybe there was a chance he wasn't going to, then sure. Try the jiu-jitsu. Try whatever you can.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the matchup for the Titans against the Saints. What are the individual matchups in that game that intrigue us the most? What do you make of the matchup for the Titans against the Saints? 615-737-1025. You can weigh in on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds baseball today at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, week one is here. Titans taking on the Saints on the road coming up on Sunday. We've made it. What do we think of this game for the Titans? What are the matchups that we're most looking forward to? Keeping in mind, by the way, that Alvin Kamara not going to be available for the Saints in this game. He has been suspended. So, obviously, that's a huge loss for New Orleans heading into this game, both in the running game, also in the passing game, and what he's able to do out of the backfield in the slot there. They do have Jamal Williams, who they brought in. Jamal Williams, I thought, ran the ball well for Detroit last year, had a lot of touchdowns last year. They move on. Detroit's shifted their backfield up, which is why some people think they're winning 11 games this year. We'll see what happens.
Sure.
And then Jamal Williams ends up in New Orleans, so I would assume he's going to be the guy that gets most of the carries on Sunday for the Saints. So obviously that's a huge loss for New Orleans against Kamara. It's a huge win for the Titans. Now I have to worry about him on Sunday, but there is Michael Thomas. There is Chris Olave out there and Derek Carr stepping in at quarterback for the Saints, which is an upgrade over what they've had the last couple of years there. So what do you make of this matchup for the Titans against the Saints, and what are some matchups individually that intrigue you the most heading into Sunday?
Well, I think for me, I start with the biggest question for the Titans, the biggest, I think, weakness for the Titans, and against a good front. I mean, how good is Cameron Jordan still? I think he's still a pretty darn good player.
Yep.
You know, he's going to be lined up against Chris Hubbard. That seems like a spot where, you know, you're going to want to give a fair amount of help, in which case, then you take it to the whole offensive line. Can Andre Dillard, take care of his area? If that's where Cam Jordan is lining up like he normally does, you know, can Andre Dillard be okay out there by himself a fair amount of the time? I mean, I think it's, so much about blocking those guys, you know, for the Titans. Also, just on that side of the ball still, you know, Marshawn Lattimore, who, in those moments where you're going to play man, who is he? Who is he looking at? I assume DeAndre Hopkins, right? Lattimore Hopkins.
I assume, yep.
But I don't know. Treylon Burks, we assume he's playing. That's some more information that we're going to have today and probably get that confirmed. You know, does he even have a designation?
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't even have a designation. But I'm assuming he's playing, and this is where the Titans, I mean, you know, this is where they could be a problem for people because if Hopkins and Burks, and those are both, you know, matchups, like Lattimore would be a guy that I'd like to put on both of those guys, and you can't. So I look at that. The other side, like you said, you mentioned Olave. Like, how good is Michael Thomas? Is Michael Thomas going to have a comeback season?
Yeah.
Is like, I mean, he was incredible. Two years ago or 3 years
three
ago?
3 years ago.
I guess it was 3 years ago,
yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah. It's been two lost seasons, right? So if he is good, I think Chris Olave is definitely good. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, you know, Chris Olave, who I still think of as a slot receiver, you know, but he's, I mean, he plays all over the place. I mean, what's the matchup there? You know, like, what's the best matchup for, like, Fulton when the Titans match up? Is McCreary a matchup for Olave? I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously they're going to play a lot of different coverages. They play a lot of cover three, but that's big. And then the pass rush of the Titans, you know, Ryan Ramczyk, Trevor Penning. I mean, those guys are going to come right out. Whether Arden Key plays or not, you know, in the interior of that line, Ruiz, McCoy, you got Andres Pete in there. I mean, those guys have to deal with Simmons, Tart, Autry. How do they hold up? I mean, I think both offensive lines, you know, could be at the disadvantage here.
One thing that's interesting to me this year, Joe, and I don't know that I expect it to change, but we've never really seen the Titans have Christian Fulton or whoever you think their number one cornerback is. I think it's clearly Fulton heading into this year. We've never seen him really travel all that much with the other teams opposing top receiver. Not to say that it's never happened.
Yeah, like for a whole game.
Right, for a whole game. That. It yeah. doesn't really happen a lot. Like, I don't know that I expect that to change this year, but do you think that's something the Titans should consider? Maybe not even in this matchup against New Orleans, but when you're playing Cincinnati and there's Ja'Marr Chase out there, should Christian Fulton travel with him? Like, how much do you think the Titans should consider doing that? Because we do see teams do that around the league.
Yeah. I mean, I think what Vrabel does with the mixing of coverages and the different game plans, they have worked pretty well. You think about, like, what they've done against, like, the Chiefs and things like that. I mean, obviously there are times you have to play man, but I think what they do is pretty effective. And it's not like they have – like, they don't have, you know, like, Sauce Gardner at corner.
Right.
You know, they don't have the guy where you're like, you know what? He will absolutely just erase that guy from the game, you know. And Fulton's good; he's very good. But yeah, I don't think we'll see. You never know in a given week, I guess, like how you might want to play something. But I think the things they do and mixing things up has worked pretty well for them.
The Cam Jordan part of this is interesting because he had 8.5 sacks last year for the Saints. He's 34 years old, so it's in some ways similar to Danico Autry, right, in terms of like, all right, well, how much longer is he going to be able to be as productive as he's been? And then you watch Danico Autry play football, and you're like, oh, yeah, he's still pretty good. Like Cam Jordan, I feel basically the same way about. He's been awesome, and he's 34, 8.5 sacks a year ago. Like, there's no reason for me to believe that he's shown any evidence of slowing down at this point. So Chris Hubbard, Andre Dillard, the question that really I think haunts a lot of Titans fans heading into this year about what could hold this team back and bring this team down is the offensive line. I think we're going to get a pretty good early look at that on Sunday because this is a good front that the Saints have that the Titans are going to be going up against. And, you know, we talk about Tim Kelly and the play calling and how much different the system is going to look and all those things. And that's fascinating to me heading into this year. The big story is going to be how well can the Titans hold up blocking. In pass protection with Ryan Tannehill, obviously the run blocking game, which I think I'm a little less worried about, but we're going to get a good early gauge on Sunday to figure out exactly where this Titans offensive line is.
Yeah, I mean, Carl Granderson's a pretty good player too, you know, on the other side, so I think that's a matchup with Dillard a lot too. I mean, he's, you know, he had 5.5 sacks last year, but they've got, DeMario Davis in there. They got some good guys. It will be a good test right away. There's a few of them early in the season. On the text line, on the receiver front, Lance points out Rashid Shaheed. There's a guy who there's a ton of buzz for him in this camp. Rashid Shaheed for the Saints, and how it has looked with him and with Derek Carr throwing to him. So, you know, I think it's the best team in the NFC South. The running the football, and that's the thing, like not having Kamara in this game, it hurts them for sure. I like Jamal Williams. You know, he's a solid player, but he's not the type of guy that, to me, is a big worry for a team like the Titans. I don't think the Saints are going to run the ball effectively. I think they're going to be in a lot of obvious passing situations. And, you know, Derek Carr is good, but he also, here and there, will give you the football with a head-scratching decision. And so I like the Titans defensively. I like them in this matchup, but, I like the Titans defensively. And I'm going to like them a lot of weeks until they show me something to think otherwise. You know, this is going to be such a weekly thing, but it's like if they can hold up front, then I think they've got a lot of plays they can make on the Saints defense too.
LD from McMinnville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Robbie, I'm not sure anything has shown me that Fulton is clearly the Titans' best corner, in his opinion.
Well,
I understand from an injury
that?
Standpoint,
yeah,
for sure. But if it's not him, is it McCreary? Well, we don't know about Sean Murphy Bunting yet. We're going to start to find that out coming up on Sunday.
And he's been a good player in this league. I think Sean Murphy Bunting's an upgrade at that spot. But, yeah, I disagree with LD. I think in the 30 games Christian Fulton has played, and of those 30, how many of those 30, and I know people say, yeah, the injury rate's 100 and everybody's hurt all the time. Like, when he was actually right and out there, because I do think he played some weeks when, you know, it was kind of iffy. Yep.
Especially after his rookie year.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think he's looked like a number one corner in quite a few games. He just has missed too many of those games. You know, that's the problem.
I agree. And look, I think there's a difference between number one corner and elite corner, right?
Like, nobody's
saying that Christian Fulton is an elite cornerback out there and that he's in line for some huge payday next time his contract rolls up here after this season. But I do think he's been a very good player. And that's what, to me, we're going to get to this a little bit later in the show, and the choice is yours with Kaharski a little bit later. That's what, to me, makes him so interesting this year. And you don't have to answer this right now, but this is something that listeners can think about. If he plays 15 out of 17 games this year and looks like a number one cornerback while doing it, what do you do if you're the Titans? He's played in 30 of 50 heading into this year. Obviously, that's not good enough. If he plays in 15 out of 17 games this year and he looks really good as a number one cornerback, what do you do at that point if you're the Titans? It's going to be really interesting.
That's a good question. I think some of the answer to that is also, like, what's everything else look like?
Yep.
Like, are you gearing – because you could – if you're going to do the transition on offense, you could make the case, okay, you just go younger on defense too and, you know, just sort of reset with some things. But, if you're looking at next year, like just a continuation of this year, especially with like the veterans on offense, then I think you definitely make a case to not let your number one corner go, because it's not just like you snap your fingers and you pick up another one.
Bobby on the text line says, at least we won't have to worry about Taylor Lewan getting injured on Sunday. That is true. He will not be playing for the Titans on Sunday.
Wow. Strays for Taylor Lewan. Just out of nowhere. No one's even talking about Taylor Lewan.
I know. I guess I'm not surprised he didn't catch one heading into the year.
Yeah, I guess so. In all seriousness, I think there's way too many Titans fans who like don't realize how good Taylor Lewan was.
Yeah, I totally agree. However, having said that, I will forever look like opening day always brings back good memories for me. I will forever look back fondly on the opening day Arizona game of him being announced coming back in the game.
I'm sure he will too.
It's one of my favorite things of all time. Coming back in, number 77, Taylor Lewan. Oh, Chandler Jones has 10 sacks today. How about that?
An all-timer.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take a look at the Titans matchup against the Saints. What do you make of the matchup? What do you think of the chances to win on Sunday? 615-737-1025. More on that up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Make sure you sign up for Silly Underdog Picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as week one of the NFL kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel coming up at 7 o'clock. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head coach at 7:30, joining us live here out at Vanderbilt at 7:30. So looking forward to that. Looking ahead to Vanderbilt and Wake Forest coming up this weekend. Paul Kuharski from 8 to 9 o'clock today for an hour talking Titans. So looking forward to all that as well. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. By the way, Ty on the text line says, so many people don't realize how important Lawan was at left tackle and as a teammate. He was our goon. I think he comes back mid-season. This is from Ty on the text line.
Yeah, Ty, the last one.
He ain't coming
back.
No,
man, he's done. He's done playing professional football. So
yeah.
You can, that is absolutely take it to the bank.
And if he's going to come back and play left tackle, he better start doing some serious eating.
He's got about 80 pounds to gain starting now. So, yeah. He was a heck of a player. You know, as a teammate, I mean, yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. He was, you know, at times that got him in trouble, the Titans in trouble, especially early in his career.
A lovable goon.
Yeah, and he was, you know, one of those guys that some people, you know, rub some people the wrong way. But I guess, you know, like Jamarco Jones would be an example, trying to punch him before a practice last year.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's toughy.
Apparently that was a problem for Jamarco Jones.
Yeah, I guess so. But, no, I mean, Lawan was, he was, I know from media perspective, he was also someone who, you know, was a pretty good spokesperson for the whole team, good or bad times, and he was a very good player, man. I mean, he was, I think, certainly a top 5 to 7 left tackle
in
for probably about 4 or 5 seasons in a row, right? I mean, that's just hard. Like, it's just hard to just go ahead and have that on your team. It's not easy to find those guys, and the Titans. You know, right now they got Dillard, and then they're hoping he's solid, you know. But they, at some point, they still have to find that next long-term left tackle. That's why those guys make so much money. It's really important, and he did it very well for a long time.
So assuming that Treylon Burks can play on Sunday and that there's little to no restrictions on his snap count and those things, I would assume in some order the snap counts for the Titans receivers – would be Hopkins 1, Burks 2, or Burks 1, Hopkins 2. Who is number 3 for the Titans at wide receiver? Who plays the third most snaps for the Titans behind those two with Kyle Phillips being out on Sunday?
It's a good question. And the thing is, even if Phillips were healthy, I don't know that he'd have a huge snap count. You know, I still think you'd see some more slash NWI in different looks. I'm going to guess more. I think Moore is a little bit more playmaking potential, but I think it will be closer than some think. And we talked during camp. I mean, I called a shot about, you know, NWI.
Yeah.
Could he possibly be in jeopardy in terms of making the team? And now I'm saying he might be right there for third most snaps. But look, they trust him, and I think they trust Chris Moore too. And Vrabel has said some things about him that tell you very clearly how much he trusts him. I think it'll be more, but I think you'll see both of them.
I'm interested to see how much they move Hopkins around. I mean, I think they're going to move Burks around too in terms of lining him up outside, putting him in the slot. But, like, Hopkins is clearly a guy that you can put anywhere on the field, and Tim Kelly has done that before, both, you know, on the outside, on the inside when he was with the OC with the Texans. So, especially with Phillips out, like, how much is Hopkins playing in the slot on Sunday, and what does that do for the matchups for the Titans? You know, whether it is, you know, maybe it is Lattimore. Like, what is it? Is he following Hopkins around? Is he lining up in the slot with him? Like, how much do the Titans try to line Hopkins up in the slot, maybe to get him away from some of those matchups? I'm interested to see how that goes too.
Yeah, and that was the much discussed, you know, change that Tim Kelly made in 2019.
Yep.
First year as OC with the Texans. He was not the play caller that year. He was the OC. He was still, like, I think the first actual OC that O'Brien had there, or maybe since like his first year or something like that. And then of course he was a play caller the year after that in 2020. But played him way more than he ever had there. What does that mean for now? I don't know. But yeah, I think you'll see him. I think you'll see some Chigakonkwo.
Yep.
Detached and moving around. I think you'll see some Tajay Spears moving around in different spots. You know, I think you'll see some interesting things, but trying to find matchups. And yeah, I just the targeting of Hopkins and Burks, again, just assuming on Burks right now. Maybe we come back tomorrow and find out it's a different story and he's questionable. But those two guys, I would think you're talking like 20-plus targets between them is what I would expect this week and most weeks.
What do you think? I was thinking about this yesterday just in terms of the narrative around this team. You know, they've lost seven in a row. It's a new season, so nobody – that's not at top of mind if you're a Titans fan heading into this game. Like, it's a new year. You don't think back to last year. But I guarantee you, if they lose this game on Sunday and it gets to eight in a row, part of the line of questioning for Vrabel, for the players next week will be, hey, you guys lost eight games in a row. How important is it to snap that, all those things? Like, how important do you think that is in terms of changing the mindset, getting off to a good start this year? Even from like Vrabel's standpoint heading into this year, it's a new season. If they lose Sunday, it's not the end of the world. You've got 16 more games to get this thing figured out. But you will at that point have lost eight games in a row, which is something that's not really come close to happening at all in Vrabel's tenure as a whole here. So what do you think is on the line for Vrabel as they head into this year, knowing that in the background there is a seven-game losing streak, and we can point to a million reasons why it happened last year. But there is a seven-game losing streak that they're riding heading into this year.
Yeah, I think what's on the line is just his annoyance level because you're absolutely right. It becomes a – we pick it right back up with, gosh, are you guys going to win a football game, you know, anytime soon? So I think certainly that's something that emerges from a loss. It's also important before we even see the result. Let's see. Go through. So you've talked about the Lawan game, an absolute disaster performance,
yep.
Just embarrassing.
It'd be hard to be worse than that.
And they are the one seed that yep. year. You know, 2019. Think about like they started out, went to Cleveland. Cleveland was a super hype team. They go in there and just take them apart, and then they lose four of the next five games and look like one of the worst teams of football, and then go to the AFC title game.
Yep.
So I mean. Let's see, his opener 18 was a disaster. That team figured it out. Last year was a very bad start, and then they won. What, they win 6 of 7?
I think so, yep.
Right? Or they started 0-2.
They started 0-2 and
remember,
then won.
At game two last year, yeah, then they lose 6 of 7, and then they lose 7 in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know if there's a lesson in all of this. I'm just going through all the season openers. Which one am I missing? 18, 8, which one? Oh, 20,
20
was
in Denver.
So-so opener at Denver, and then they got way better from that too. But it's a big deal. I mean, just a big deal. Again, just when you look at the early schedule, you lose this game, and you can let your mind wander to, man, how many of these early games against good teams are they going to win, and how big of a hole might they be in if they don't win this game? And you have a lot more pressure with the Chargers coming to your place in week two than if you take this one.
Well, and the simple fact of the matter is the way their schedule lays out, I mean, it's – you talked about it yesterday. I've got them 3-3 by the time the bye week rolls around, and I think if you're
huge.
The Titans, you'd probably sign up for that right now. And they would never say that, but you probably would sign up for
that. They should.
Right now.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, you look at the first four games with, obviously, Sunday on the road, which, by the way, I don't know if we talked about this. That's a hostile environment they're going to on Sunday.
Sure.
At the Superdome. It's going to be loud in there. Chargers coming in the week after that, and then the Ohio teams on the road at Cleveland and Cincinnati coming in here. And I don't think they're going to start this way, but 0-4 is a possibility for the Titans. It really is.
Robbie Stanley predicts Titans going 0-4. I love it.
I had them at 11-6 yesterday.
So you got them going. You got them winning 11 of their last 13 games, huh? No, it is.
Headline.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Bengals and I'd be at Cleveland. I mean, I don't know what Cleveland's going to be. But I don't think they're going to be bad.
No.
I mean, there's no excuse for them. There's another coach, by the way. You were talking about Staley. I mean, there's another coach who, like, if they don't put it together this year, I think that's another change there because their roster's too good for them not to win at least 9-10 games this year, I think.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Tennessee, their week one performance, look ahead to their game against Austin Peay, and the Florida game the week after that as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.